Today is Pentecost Sunday. Praise God. It's not because you happen to be in a Pentecostal church, but it's Pentecost. Glory to God. Pentecost. Amen. Penta simply means 50. 50. 50 is all it means, just 50. Pentecost. It's really two words, but penta means 50. We get Pentecost Sunday because it is 50 days after the resurrection of Christ from the tomb. It's 50 days. So there was 40 days that Christ was not among us, 10 days in the ascension, that he was walking among us, and 10 days in the ascension. After the ascension came Pentecost. So you have 50 days from the resurrection. Also in Old Testament, the Ten Commandments were given to the children of Israel 50 days after Passover. So there's Exodus trip from Egypt, okay, from Exodus. So you have a 50-day period. God's got this thing with numbers, okay? And so you just go along with it, amen? I mean, God's got a lot of things you go along with. You don't get to argue with them. The Holy Spirit was a fulfillment of a prophetic word from Joel and a promise from John, or from Jesus, I should say. In Joel chapter 2, verse 28, you do not have this media team, but I'll say it real quick. And it shall come to pass after that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. How much flesh? All flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Also, that was the prophetic word. The promise was in John 16:7. Jesus said it this way. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. So you have a prophetic word and you have a promise. And I'm telling you, in the prophetic word, and when God gives you a promise, you can bank on it. Amen? You don't have to wonder about it. When God gives you a promise, it's for real. Yes, my daddy, you say, son, you can take that to the bank. Amen? In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was selective. I'm going to give you a quick comparison as best I can today. Old Testament, Holy Spirit was selective. It came for a period of time, and then it would basically leave, if you will. But in New Testament, the Holy Spirit come and it remains, okay? So let's look at a few things in the Old Testament real quick. The Holy Spirit in the Old Testament was selective on whom he moved upon and for specific purposes. Let's look at Numbers chapter 11, verse 24. I'm going to read a little scripture. I'm going to try to be fast, but I'm not going to try to be fast. Is that okay? In Numbers 11, 24, the Spirit came upon the 70 elders in order to help Moses with the people. Okay? They were crazy people. Anybody know any crazy people? Oh, yeah. Amen. Glory to God. Anybody know any people that just messed up and complain and whine all the time? Moses did too. Amen? Yeah. And Jesus did too. Let me tell you. So in Numbers 11, 24 says this. So Moses went out. Now you look for the Holy Spirit and where it's transferred and for how long, okay? So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. And he gathered the 70 men of the elders. Can we make that screen full instead of split? Because hallelujah. You know what that means? Amen. It means I'm getting older. And he gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tabernacle. We got 70 people, and he gathered them around the tabernacle, and he placed them together. Verse 25, then the Lord came down in a cloud and spoke to him and took the Spirit, and he took the Spirit, capital S, took the Spirit. How many of you know Moses couldn't do what he was doing with the children of Israel in the flesh? He couldn't do it upon his own knowledge and upon his own desire. He had to have something more. That's what the Spirit, the Holy Spirit does. He gives you that strength to do the more. Come on, to live a victorious life, to be a witness. And we're going to learn some things in the New Testament. It's going to blow you away about the Holy Spirit. And since he took that Spirit, Oh, hallelujah. Took that spirit that was upon him, meaning Moses, and he placed the same upon the 70 elders. Now watch. And it happened when the spirit rested upon them. It came upon a spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, rested upon them, that they prophesied, although they never did so again. For a moment, right there. They were endued with power, and they prophesied. Now let's go to the next verse. I'm going to show you something else. I'm going to get you. But two men remained. I didn't see it flip. I'm sorry. I told you, man. I'm not. But two men remained in the camp. Watch this. 70 went to the tabernacle, but two stayed back. The name of one was Eldad, and the name of the other was the Medad. And the Spirit, capital S, rested upon them. Now this right here looks like to me it's a prophetic vision into what's going to happen. Now watch this. Now they were among those listed, but who had not gone out to the tabernacle, yet they prophesied in the camp. Okay? So you got 70 went up and the Spirit fell on them. You got these other two, the Spirit rested upon them. They also prophesied. Now this is what happens. And a young man ran and told Moses, and he said, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. And so Joshua, the son of Nun, you know, you remember Joshua, right? Moses' assistant, one of his choice men, answered and said, Moses, my Lord, forbid them. That's what happens today. Forbid them. Forbid them to prophesy. Then Moses said to him, are you zealous for my sake? It's a question. It's almost like mockery. Are you saying that's reserved for me, or what's the deal? Are you wanting this to stop? What's going on with you, Joshua? Everybody needs to be rebuked every now and then, no matter how holy you are. Oh, that the Lord, this is what Moses' response, oh, that the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. Now, that's a prophetic look into the future, I believe, of what's to come. Moses, a type of Christ, said, oh, I would that he would put it on all men. Praise God. Today we can live from that prophetic in the promise of John 16:7, that Christ said that if he goes away, he's going to send the Holy Spirit to all of us. It's not for a selective group that meet at the tabernacle. Come on. It's not just for a few people that gather up and say, well, I'm a little better than you, so I'm qualified for the Holy Spirit. I meet the criteria. That's not what it's talking about. Today is available for everyone who desires the Holy Spirit to live in their heart. Now watch this. I'm going to hurry. Not really. Here's another incident of where the Holy Spirit came and went for a specific time and for a specific purpose. In 2 Chronicles 20, verse 14, then the Spirit, capital S, of the Lord, came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jehiel, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite, sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. Okay, what happened right there? They were gathered, Spirit of the Lord came. And he said, listen, all of you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid or dismayed, because this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. We know that one, right? We always want to give everything to God. We don't want to do anything. Come on. Lord, I've given you all this. What are you doing? Lord, I've given you my alcohol, but you stopped by the liquor store. Lord, I've given you my alcohol, but your house is full of it. You got a liquor cabinet. Come on, somebody. Lord, I've given you my pornography, but you ain't cut off your internet. Come on, somebody. We want to let God fight the battle. We don't want to do anything. Does that happen? Occasionally. Most of the time, it involves you. Come on. Is there another verse behind that one? That's it, isn't it? Amen. Just checking to see if y'all were on it. I have to keep them in check. Y'all know that, right? The idea here is that the Holy Spirit came for a season, for a moment. And he prophesied that he was going to win the battle. If you go on and read, that they were going to win the battle through the Holy Spirit. That's what's going to... So the Holy Spirit came for a season, for a moment, and was gone. Ezekiel 2:2. The Spirit came upon Ezekiel so he could witness to the children of Israel. How many of you know you need the Holy Spirit to witness? Do you know this? Well, I'll show you that in a minute. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 2 says this, "Then the Spirit entered me when he spoke to me and set me on my feet, and he heard me, and he heard him who spoke to me." Verse, and you got to read the whole second chapter of Ezekiel and the third chapter. "Then the Spirit," in Ezekiel 3:24 says, "Then the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet and spoke with me and said to me, 'Go shut yourself inside your house.'" He had given a prophetic word through the Holy Spirit just for a season. Removed. But now we transition into something totally different. Into the new covenant. Let me give you one more prophetic word about the Holy Spirit resting on Jesus. How many of you believe that the Holy Spirit rested on Jesus? How many of you know it's a prophetic word? Isaiah chapter 11 verse 1 says, "And there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." Going to rest on Jesus. If you read this passage of Scripture, you understand that it's talking about Jesus, that Jesus needed the Holy Spirit to do what he had to do in the flesh. He was fully God and he was fully man. He knows the temptations you go through. He knows the trials. He knows the struggles because he was fully God and he was fully man. But yet when he went through trials and tribulations, he didn't put on the God robe and say, "This is what I'm going to do this, but my children won't be able to do it because I'm fully God." No, he gives us the Holy Spirit so that we can overcome things as well. Got to understand that God didn't leave you helpless. That God provides a way out for you no matter your circumstance. No matter what you're going through, I don't care how long you've been in, whatever you're doing, God can provide, does provide a way for you to get out, but it requires you to help. Now let's look at New Testament real quick. The Holy Spirit in the New Testament. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4, says, "And being assembled together with him, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said," Jesus speaking, "you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water." There's your baptism in water. That's your repentance. "But you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." There's another baptism. Jesus speaks here. If you got your Bible, it's in red. If you believe those words. Baptism in water is John's baptism. That's repentance. Holy Spirit baptism is totally different, okay? Now watch. Mark chapter 1, verse 4. The difference between John's baptism and the baptism in the Holy Spirit is this. John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching baptism of repentance. Of repentance for the remission of sins. Amen? Forgiveness of sin. That's what John baptized you in. You're baptized into Christ through that. But watch this. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Were the disciples saved? It's not a trick question. I mean, I think if you've been kind of hanging out with Jesus, you're probably saved. We can give that. Now, you say, "Well, what about Judas?" Well, he wasn't saved. He just wasn't there. I'm sorry. You mean Jesus let him in his inner circle? Well, you got sinners in your inner circle? Yeah, you do. Don't be putting it on Jesus. The disciples were saved. The disciples got baptized in the Holy Spirit. He says, not many days from now, this is what's going to happen from you. You will receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, if you notice, I don't know what translation we got. We got a semicolon here, so this is one of the same translations. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." We got a semicolon there, which it simply means you have two independent statements. You could put a period right there, and you have a subject matter, and you can make a complete sentence. You have a thought, a complete thought, and then you have another thought, okay? So it says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." When you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you receive power. power. Here's another thing that happens when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And you shall, here's the other thought, the other sentence, the other statement, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. In other words, you're going to tell people about me. Why do we need the Holy Spirit? What are you working? Are you operating in power? Do you have power to pray for people and if they're sick or to be delivered and it happens? You should, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. We need to walk in the Holy Spirit. What's the other thing? Here's another way. Are you telling everybody about Christ? Are you telling anybody about Christ? Maybe you need the Holy Spirit. If you're having trouble witnessing, maybe you do need the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's not as far-fetched as you thought. Maybe you need the Holy Spirit in you to give you boldness and power and strength and tenacity to go talk to people about Jesus. There's not a person in this room that's really too shy to talk. Not one in this room. You can talk about whatever your favorite subject is without question. You can talk if it's, you know, if it's four-wheeler riding or hunting or shopping or farming or, oh, I don't care what it is. Whatever you're comfortable with, you'll talk about. But it never fails. We can come to church for 40 years, say we love Jesus, and get talking about Jesus in a circle. Somebody gets talking about Jesus, and you know that person over there may not be saved, and you start kind of bowing out, backing up. You just get come quiet all of a sudden. Why is that? Maybe you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He says that's one of the two reasons. You'll have power and you're going to be witnesses. That's the two things for the Holy Spirit. It's not to speak in tongues. Oh, preacher. You're getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's not for you to speak in tongues. That's a byproduct of you being filled with the Holy Spirit, but that's not the purpose for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The purpose for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit is so that you'll have power when you pray. You can move mountains. Come on, somebody. You ever needed a mountain moved in your life? You ever needed something done in your life that you knew that had to be God to do it? I'm talking about that kind of power. But then the other part is the witnessing. That you'll be witnesses for Christ. It's not that there's so many bad people out in the world that don't want to come to church. That's not it. It's that there's very few witnesses in the church taking this gospel of the good news outside the church. I've told this story many times, but if I was to give away $1 million, I'd have to borrow it from all of y'all. But if I was to give away $1 million and had it in a briefcase under at my door, at my house, under my carport, and I was to tell me and my wife, now, tomorrow at noon, we're going to give away this $1 million. But we only knew, just she and I. Tomorrow at noon, come, and guess what? Of course, she'd probably go get the $1 million, but the $1 million would still be there. But if I started telling people today that next Sunday at noon, I'm going to give away $1 million cash. It's going to be at my door under my carport. And at noon, the first person in line can have that $1 million cash. You're going to leave right now, go get in line at my house. Come on, because you're wanting to receive something. Because why? I told you about it. But if I never tell you about it, you don't know it's available. That's why the church is so empty. Because we're sitting on something more valuable than $1 million cash. We're sitting on in an eternal position with God in heaven forever. And we're telling no one. And we come and we make these pathetic prayers. God, where are the souls? I know it's a pathetic prayer because I've been praying it. And Bobby Miller said it the best years ago. He was praying, Lord, where are the piano players? And where are the guitar players? You remember you telling me this. Where are they at? And the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, well, they're at Harlow's. They're at the casino. Oh, but God, I'm talking about those good people. No, they're at the casino. You just got to go get them. Come on now, watch this. They're living under your roofs, called your children, your spouse. Come on, somebody. That's where they are. That's where the empty pews go away when we start becoming witnesses by the power of the Holy Spirit. The church house becomes full. We disciple them and reproduce. And they tell people about Jesus Christ. There'll be a lot of people that go to hell because they didn't choose Jesus. That's the only way you can go to hell, okay? You reject Christ. But I'm going to say it this way so you understand where my position is. You go to hell by yourself. But a lot of people are going to go to hell, and Christians never walked across the street to talk to them about Jesus. Worked side by side on an assembly line and never said anything about Jesus. Never said a word. We need the Holy Spirit. And you say, well, I don't believe in that. I'm sorry. He's real. Go to any church today and you'll see empty places, empty seats. There's room at the cross. And we need to open our mouths and be witnesses for Christ. It's great if you pray for somebody and they're instantly healed. Praise God, that's power. I believe in that too. There's power in that. There's power in you to break strongholds in your life. That Holy Spirit can help you break strongholds in addictions and things. I'm all for that, praise God. It's part of one of the two things that the Holy Spirit should live in your life for. But we need to learn to be witnesses for Christ. And Acts 8:14 says this, and when now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word, come on, that's that first, that word, that's that first initial baptism in John's baptism. They heard the word. They were saved. And the apostles got together and said, well, we need to send somebody. We got to have a committee to send somebody. Come on, somebody. Let's get it to committee. We ain't going to go, but we need a committee to nominate somebody that will go. Sound like church to me, Brother RT. I ain't going to do it, but since I'm up here, let me delegate. So they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. They heard the word. They got the word. Got saved. Need something more. Need power. Need to be a witness. When they come down, that they might, they prayed they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do you get the difference? They had only been baptized in John's baptism, baptism of repentance. There's something more, church, called the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's in Scripture. It's not gray. They had the word, says they were baptized in John's, for repentance, in John's baptism, if you will. They'd only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They'd been saved. But there's more. Then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Praise God. We need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not demonic. He's holy. He's part of the triune Godhead. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. There's nothing devilish about the Holy Spirit. The only thing devilish about it is us resisting what he wants to do in our lives. It's called rebellion. We need the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 19, verse 1, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, finding some disciples. Praise God. Those good folks. And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He calls them a believer. We know that they're a believer. He calls them disciples. Did you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit when you believed? Watch the response. He asked a question, very simple question. So they said to him, we've not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. Nothing wrong with that. New church, new apple. We ain't heard about that yet. Amen. Praise God. We'll give them that new right in the beginning of the church age. We don't, what is that? We know the disciples. We know they believe. Paul addressed them as believers. When you believe, did you get it? No. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? It's a question. Well, was you baptized? Where yet? In other words, where yet would you walk with the Lord? Come on, somebody, this is good stuff. And so they said, into John's baptism. What did we learn about John's baptism? John's baptism is a baptism under repentance. You can go to heaven. You don't have to have the Holy Spirit to go to heaven. You don't have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and not go to heaven. If you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you can still go to heaven. And if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, you can still go to heaven. John's baptism, forgiveness, is a remission of sins. You can go to heaven. Praise God. I'm not. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, I'm not. And if you don't really believe in it, I'm not trying to beat you up or belittle. I'm just saying that there's more. And I'm telling you, if you'll seek for more, the Bible says, "If you seek me, you shall find me." And God has an unlimited supply of whatever you need. You can say, "Boy, I've emptied God's box out this week. Boy, He's just been all over me. You ain't even touched it." He just let a little spillover out of the coffee cup onto the saucer, and you thought you was just on cloud nine. Look, He's got more than you can ever dream of. He's got more power than you can ever exhaust. Come on, somebody. He said to them, "In what you were baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." Verse 4. Then Paul said, "Well, John indeed baptized with the baptism of what? Repentance. Saying to the people that they should believe on Him who would come after Him, that is on Christ Jesus." Is this making any sense whatsoever? Do you see the two things happening? Verse 5, "And when they heard this," says they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, "and when Paul," in verse 6, "and when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied." If you're baptized in the Holy Spirit and you speak in tongues that moment and you prophesy, praise God, that's part of the program. But if you don't speak in tongues, that's okay. You can still be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I believe that. I believe you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and that comes, sometimes it's a little bit later. Come on. Acts 2:38 says this concerning the Holy Spirit. Is it available today? That's the number one question. Is it available today? Is the Holy Spirit available for Marty today? I hope so. I don't have to hope. It's kind of setting you up. I know so. Why is this? Let me show you one scripture, and then we're going to go. Acts 2:38 says this, "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins.'" There's a semicolon again. There's a period. There's a complete thought right there. Bam, all by itself. That's a thought. Repent, be baptized in Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. It's a thought. Now watch this. "And when you do that, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So I want to say this. You cannot be baptized in the Holy Spirit without being saved. You have to be saved before baptism of the Holy Spirit comes. It's kind of like, it would kind of be like getting water baptized before you get saved. It's kind of putting the cart before the horse, so to speak. Amen? So you must be saved. Then you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You can be baptized in the Holy Spirit before you're water baptized. After you're saved, you go into heaven. Make no mistake, you will go to heaven whether you're water baptized or whether you're baptized in the Holy Spirit or not. It doesn't matter. You're going to heaven. Remember the thief on the cross? He didn't get water baptized. I heard Alistair Begg say one time, he's a little clip, maybe you've seen it on Facebook. said the three get there and they're arguing about getting to heaven, and said the guy shows up in heaven. And they're going through their list. Well, how did he get here? What's the deal? How did he get here? I mean, you were a heathen. I mean, how did you get here? You weren't water baptized. You weren't baptized in the Holy Spirit. I mean, you didn't have your name on a church roll. Come on. We're not checking the boxes for you. You don't check any boxes. And the guy's response was, but the man in the middle said I could come. Come on, in Jesus Christ, you get to go. Come on, somebody. It's in Christ. You put your faith and you're saved. You go to heaven. I'm telling you, that's not enough. There's more. It's enough to get you to heaven, but there's more while you live here on this earth. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit so we can, number one, so we can fill the church house with souls that need to be saved. That's part of the purpose. One of the two things was for power, and you could be a witness, not for Christ to be a witness. Not for your pastor to be more of a witness, that you could be a witness for Christ. Well, what are you going to witness? People tell me all the time, Pastor, I don't know how to, I mean, it just bothers me. I don't even know what to say. It's just so simple. So you can be a witness of what? A witness of what Christ has done in your life. Amen. Just tell them what he's done for you. You know your story better than anybody else. You're more passionate about your story than anyone else. Just tell people what Christ has done in your life. I used to be this, and now I'm not. I used to do this, now I don't. I used to say this, now I don't. I used to do, and you go down your list, and this is what God's done in your life. But given to ourselves, we won't even pray in front of our children at home. We won't even lay our hands on our spouse to pray for them when they're sick. Or we won't even talk to our spouse sometimes, a lot of time, about Jesus if, say, one's saved and one's not. Why is that? I think because we lack the Holy Spirit being vibrant and alive in our life. This is Pentecost Sunday. Look, this happened for a reason. Now, I'm going to show you one thing and to help you. Is it for today? I hadn't lost my train of thought. You thought I did. It's very easy for me to do that, but I hadn't. Verse 39. For the promise, remember we've been reading about the promise, this promise Jesus made. I promise you if I go, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. That prophetic word from Joel, the promise... in verse 39, is to you, everybody say you. Say, that don't mean me, that's talking about somebody else. Because it's really in talking to those people that he's right in front of. And to your children, he's talking to those people, your children. And to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Who has he called? All people. Acts 2:21. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. John chapter 3, the whole chapter. John 3:16, John 3:15. Whosoever will. For those afar off, those down the line, those that's not here, those that not even been thought of yet, those down the line, this promise is for them. Does it mean you're a smaller Christian? Please don't think that you're a smaller, somehow belittled Christian if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's not the intent of this message. And don't let the devil mess that word up from my lips to your ears. It's not what we're talking about. We're talking about there's more power. You're saved. You're never going to be any more saved. You're just saved. You can't be any more saved. You can't get any more unsaved. You're just saved. But there's more. There's more. I don't diet very much. Leave, you'll come to the piano. I don't diet very much. But I have occasionally, Matt, I'm not your size. I've never got on the scales and said, "Dear Lord, if I could just lose 1 pound, I'd be where I want to be." No. I don't even get motivated till I drop 5 or 6 to even put little Debbie back in the cabinet. Come on, my little Debbie lovers, amen. But it's something about, you know, when you get to that milestone and you see that there's a little result, you see something different, you see a little weight loss, maybe you feel your pants, and hey, I can actually get my thumbs down in my pants without, you know, having to not breathe. I feel a little, that's pretty good. And you begin to tell people all about your wonderful diet that you've been on. Oh, I cut out this and I cut out that and I don't do sugars and I'm going to die. If I got to cut out sugars, glory to God, why live? But you see, it's kind of like getting saved. You get saved and you begin to see some change in your life. You begin to see, I got to do things a little different, but you have joy in your heart. There's some excitement. You think, man, this is pretty good. Start going to church, and you thought church was boring. You show up, and you see a bald-headed preacher and saying, man, it's not boring. You're not going to go back just to listen to that joker. But things begin to change in your life. You say, man, I'm at 5 pounds. And then you set some goals. If I could lose 5 more pounds, man, that'd be so awesome. And then you start becoming conscious about losing weight. If you've ever tried to lose weight, there's a consciousness that clicks somewhere because your stomach starts growling whenever you start thinking about losing weight. It jumps up and says, "Are you sure you want to do that? Is it worth it? Is it worth the pain? Come on." You know, if you lose a lot of weight, you got to buy new clothes. Do you have money to buy new clothes? You know, people, they're going to look at you a little different. Man, you done lost some weight, man. See, it's a whole lot kind of like the Holy Spirit when you get saved and you start seeing some changes. Don't stop just by being saved. There's more. There's more you can do, but you're going to need the Holy Spirit. It's not about you getting a ticket punch to go to heaven. It is about you getting that ticket punch, but it's about you taking as many people with you to heaven as possible. It's about kingdom building. That's why you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's why you need a Paul. That's why you need a prayer language. Preacher, you pray in tongues? Absolutely. Every day. Yes. I didn't know you were that kind of preacher. It's because you don't know me. It's okay. I'm still the same guy. But I got power. I ain't got any problem talking to you about Jesus either. Come on. We need the Holy Spirit. It's available for us today, right now, today, 2023. It's available. You need the Holy Spirit. You're going to heaven. Not beating you up. You need the Holy Spirit so we can be kingdom builders. So we can help people stay out of hell. You know, it comes down to me and you. Will you stand across this building? Father, today in our short time of teaching, we've learned that the Holy Spirit was selective. It would come and it would go. Many other passages of Scripture in the Old Testament. But today, we've also learned that the Holy Spirit is available for us today. And the two main focuses, the two only two things that your Word says that the Holy Spirit helps us do is to be a witness and to have power. The tongues and the gifts come, I believe, with an endued power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we need the Holy Spirit in each of our lives. We need you alive and well, vibrant in our lives. Because the world, Lord, without you is going to hell, a literal hell. Lost and undone. Your word tells us that there's plenty that go down, that many will go down the wide gate. For wide is that path, and many be that go down that path. But Lord, that other gate, a narrow gate, that few go down, and your word says it's difficult. Lord, we need the Holy Spirit because of difficulties in our lives to give us power to overcome. So, Father, as we've gathered here today and tasted of your goodness in worship and word, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would not hold back on your people today. As the psalmist David said in Psalms 51, Lord, let not your Holy Spirit depart from me. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you will, if you can, physically, I just want you to pray this prayer. Mean it. If you don't mean it, don't pray it. It's real simple. I'm not going to be upset. I'm not going to be mad. But if this has interested you, this more power, this Holy Spirit, and you say, I need more, pray this simple prayer. Heavenly Father, I want everything you have for me. Lord, I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Lord, I want to have power, and I want to be a witness to do the things you've called me to do. And Lord, I've read in your word that it's available for me today. And I receive the gift of the Holy Spirit right now. Just receive a gift. It's just simple. It's receiving a gift. Just receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that everyone who's prayed this prayer, Lord, would receive a baptism, not of repentance, but of the Holy Spirit. To be immersed, to be overwhelmed is the baptizo word in the Greek. To be overwhelmed, to be immersed. Subdued. Oh God, that you would subdue us with the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now I want to explain something. Some of you may have been raised in a Pentecostal church and say, well, why didn't you pray for us to come up and pray for tongues? I'm not praying for you to get the gift of tongues. I pray for you to have the gift of the Holy Spirit. We're going to get to that soon, but we got to start with some basics. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the promise, and the gifts follow. You want to know more, come Thursday night, 6:30. We're studying the gifts. Amen? Let me bless you on this day before we leave. Father, I thank you, Lord, for these people that have come out today, and Lord, on a fun-filled weekend, Lord, that we celebrate our fallen soldiers. Lord, I thank you that, Lord, you've allowed me to be in this place, to be pastor of these fine people. So, Lord, as we leave, I want to bless them. Lord, I pray that your face would shine upon them. They would find favor with you first and man second. Lord, that increase in prosperity would come their way, that job promotions and raises would come. Lord, increase would come their way, Lord. Father, I pray that your face would shine upon them. Your face wouldn't be turned away, but it would shine upon us. And Lord, that peace would settle and rest and blanket every rooftop. That when we lay down this evening or tonight or in our respective homes, that sweet sleep would come to our bodies. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen and amen.